Hi, my name is John Kim. I'm a therapist who went through his own rebirth many years ago, and I've been documenting my journey ever since, sharing my life lessons and revelations. I believe in casual over clinical, with you instead of at you. I come unrehearsed on purpose because self-help doesn't have to be so complicated.
In my 20s and 30s, love was conversations about nothing till 3 in the morning. Remember when we had phones that were connected to the walls and the phones were just for talking to someone until 3 in the morning, basically not going to sleep and then after the conversation, getting ready for school. Love was, wait a minute, that's not in your 20s. unless you got held back, that's more like teens. Okay, sorry. Getting ready for college. College is still school. Washing your car and buying flowers before dates. I remember I used to line up the CDs in my 6-disc CD changer in the back of my Corrado, VW Corrado, and lining the songs up how I wanted to play them once I picked her up. You know, it was kind of like the soundtrack of the day. Anyway, love was finding self-value in another. Love was obsession, possession, trophies on a mantelpiece, memories in a jar, tipped candlesticks melting into each other, too late to separate. Love was concentrated, gave you life or made you want to die. And you knew because you were picked, love was the only thing that understood you. Love was pleasure. Love was pain. Love was everything. Today, and by today I mean love in your 40s and 50s. At least for me today, love is ordering ahead of time, drying dishes, calming one's nervous system. Love is a shared space, non-possessive, undefined, honest, and cumulative. And ending conversations at 9 p.m. so your partner can sleep. I used to always want to talk things to death, especially at night. And I would want to resolve conflict. And I thought that, you know what? If you loved me, you're going to stay up and we're going to resolve this shit. We're not going to go to sleep angry. And I realized that that's not realistic. And there is a courtesy respect you give to someone by not stripping them of sleep, especially if they're a parent, right? So love is letting people sleep. Love, and this is the line I want to go back to that I really try to live. It's really, really, it's difficult at times, right? Easier said than done. But love is about each person's expansion. That's my neon sign that I have placed above everything else when it comes to love. It's kind of my new definition. Love is earned over time. Meant to grow us in some way. It requires daily processing, a letting go, and a shedding. Love is more than sex and pancakes. By the way, I say that because I don't know about you, but every time after sex, I want pancakes. And I think this comes from in my 30s, after sex, whoever I was with, we would go to a diner, and I grew up in LA, so we'd go to a diner in Los Angeles. There was a diner called 101 Cafe over there by the large, no, it's by Island Hollywood, and they're shut down now, but they're a cool kind of 60s looking diner with a jukebox. It was important for the diner to look cool. So, right. So you weren't having sex and going to a Denny's. or an IHOP. You were having sex and then going to like a cool 60, like the kind of diner that Quentin Tarantino movies are filmed in, jukebox. And basically, at midnight or 12 or 2 in the morning, something about the music, the cool music, pancakes, sex hair, not giving a shit, and having that connection with your partner post-sex, sticky fingers from maple syrup, bacon. I don't know. It's just just nectar. Okay. Love is the ability to resolve conflict and give each other corrective experiences. So resolving conflict, being able to repair after rupture, that is huge. That is love. I don't know if you can love without the ability to do that. If you're with someone or if you don't have the ability to repair after rupture, then there's just only rupture. And it's just a matter of time before the legs fall out, you know? And it doesn't matter how attracted you are to someone or you know, how strong the chemistry is. That can pull you in. But relationships and love is all about rupture and repair and rupture and repair, rupture and repair. And without the repair piece, and if there is only rupture, you just have, you know, punctures in containers, broken water balloons, the relationship falls apart. And it's, I think, this cycle of the repair after the rupture that actually creates very strong relationship glue, you know, and I think it also creates new love experiences. And that's the other piece of this, is giving yourself a experience, not just yourself as in, you know, your logic, but also your body, your mind, your soul, the fiber of your being, giving yourself a new love experience. Nothing more convincing in this life than an experience, correct? So when it comes to things like love, that can be abstract and feeling based, it's through new experiences over and over that you have new revelations, insight, and learning. You know, it's not like love is not a logical process. You know, we could learn tools and techniques, but at the end of the day, it's through experience. It's like, you know, when we were younger and we first learned how to ride a bike, and we know that you sit on the bike and you start pedaling the left and right foot, and, you know, we know logically how to do it. We see other kids doing it, our parents, but it isn't until you actually get on the fucking bike and pedal. And also go down and get back up. And it isn't until you get the feeling of how to ride a bike, right? Then you build confidence. And then you're, you know, taking jumps and pulling wheelies. Speaking of wheelies, just real quick insert a brag. When I was 10, I had this little shitty bike. I think it was like a Huffy. All the cool kids had the, you know, the diamond bags and the fancy BMX bikes. And I had this little shitty bike, but I was the only kid or the first kid. I think the youngest too. I think the other kids were like 16. To pop a wheelie and hold that wheelie all the way around the entire block. And I remember that because I remember being so proud that I could do that. And I also wonder if that laid kind of an unhealthy track of me putting more weight on ability or doing something and attaching value to that instead of being, you know. Anyway, the corrective experience, that's what love is. Love is not for us to grab. It is held with two hands, and it is always, even when it doesn't feel good. So when I say always, I'm purposely just saying always because I don't want to label it, but it is, meaning it's there. Whether it feels good or not, love exists, right? It is everywhere. Love is peace. Love is everything. Going back to this new definition, I tend to simplify things. And sometimes when you simplify things, it's more difficult because when you simplify something, you get down to the core, right? You push away anything that is distracting. And so at the core, if I was to pick a sentence these days with my definition of love, and of course our definition has changed all the time, it's a space that promotes each individual's expansion. So I wanted to expand on this a little bit. The idea is beautiful, of course, right? Who's not going to agree that a space created that encourages one's expansion is not a beautiful thing? I mean, that's such a gift. And in this world, relationships, starting with parents and family and friends, they usually constrict us. They don't expand us, right? And that's because our warped definition of love, that's because our insecurities, our jealousies, our wanting to grab and control, stemming from our stories and childhood and, you know, attachment and all that. But if two people have this same definition and they have the ability to create a space, and this is any love, this isn't just romantic, intimate love, this is friendships, this is family. I mean, think about it. If you love someone, you're creating a relationship with someone, and what they put on the top shelf above everything else is your expansion, right? That's what they want to hold with two hands. So what does that mean? It means that first, they are accepting you. They are championing your story. They are not controlling you. They are not possessive or trying to possess you, own you. And they are allowing you to be you. Now, one can argue the risk of this is people start expanding, and by expanding, they grow apart. Sure, absolutely. And that's kind of what makes this scary, is if I let you go, will you be someone else? And if so, then we may no longer be, right? That's scary. That's terrifying, especially if you love this person, you want them in your life. But ultimately, if both people are creating a space for each other to expand, I think a bond is created that's like next level bond, you know, because it's kind of like bigger than you. And I think that's hopefully what keeps people together. That being said, of course, you know, we grow, we change, we want different things as we evolve. But I don't know if there's any other way. What's the alternative to be in something and say, I love this person, but I don't want them to expand. I don't want them to evolve. I want them to be like this forever. I mean, we do have a lot of relationships like that. Most of our parents, our grandparents, who have stayed in things that weren't honest to them, or they stayed in things for the kids, or because it was logical, or because they were afraid to be alone. And those relationships did definitely not hold a space for expansion, but they were just time capsules, right? They were just, love was a Polaroid, a picture taken, and you're supposed to fit into that square frame and be that person forever. So lots of generational unhealthy love, people who were trapped. And I think it really is this generation. I'm Gen Z. Am I Gen Z? No, I'm not Gen Z. What am I talking about? I'm Gen X. I'm Generation X. Yes. Graduated high school in the 90s. And it's not my generation. It's actually the millennials. It's the mid-30s. It's this generation, the millennials, who are finally drawing the line in the sand. And I think they're across the board to everything, whether we're talking about love or parenting or work. They're saying it stops with us, which is why I think there's so much conversation right now about new definitions across the board, you know, how we work, how we love, how we raise kids, all of that. It's a really exciting time, but yeah, it's not my generation. I feel like I have one foot in, you know, with our parents, you know, cause I kind of, I'm the bridge between our, I think, the boomers and millennials. So I kind of have one foot in there, and oh, the sun's coming out, I have to put my glasses on. Hold on. I have one foot in there, and then I have one foot in millennials. And so I kind of like understand both sides. But I really feel like the millennials are the generation that's going to reposition us. And they're tearing down posters. They're tearing down old blueprints that my generation and above have been tracing. Anyway, I hope that helped you in any way. You know, we all have our different definitions of love. This is just mine, based on my story as a 50-year-old man in this world. And also as a therapist, you know, talking to, treating / having conversations with many other people and couples about love. So if this has helped you in any way, if this has hopefully challenged you or stirred something, I encourage you to pass it along. You know, I think the way that we learn and reflect is through hearing different perspectives, you know, or maybe they're reminders, and it kind of gets us back on the track, you know. Anyway, thank you for listening. Be well.